Hello, welcome to Three Wide No Cover. Great to be with you ahead of Group 1 racing back at HQ. I'm your host, Mick Wall. Joining me as always, we've got two of the greats here, Simon Marshall, Julian Valance. How are we, gentlemen?
Absolutely honoured to be in the company of three greats here, actually, Michael.
Including
I've got to say, the Letzter Lopes are cracking race. Looking forward to that. The Dane Hill's absolutely off the Richter scale. And I've got to say, the Bobby Lewis got a little bit of energy in it, even though it's a small field. And the Maccabi, well, all the girls out there for the Sofitel big day in. It's going to be a fantastic day of racing, Jules.
Absolutely. All these big guns now are here. They're ready to launch their spring preps, and you've got to be running well. It's not moving day. That's Turnbull Stakes day, but you've got to be running well. You've got to put your hoof up and put yourself in the card. And I'm talking to horses like Master of Wine and a couple others. We get to see Russian Camelot. It's going to be a ripping day. We might have a bit of rain, but we'll get to that shortly. But it's a belter of a day, Wally.
Yeah, very good, Julesy. And speaking of running well, no two pundits are going better than the two gentlemen in studio with me here. Simon Marsh, Julian Valance, on this show on Insider Trading. You gave the punters a fill up. So well done. Let's get stuck in it. Hopefully they've got some winners for you this week as well. Julesy, the track report.
Yeah, track report really important here, punters. We're at Flemington, obviously. Rail in the true position. There are a good four at the moment. 25 to 40 kilometre northerly wind. Doesn't have that much impact at Flemington. What it does do, it's across them in the straight. It'll be in their faces in that big long home turn, sort of out of the 1400 metre chute there. It's in their faces the whole way. We get up here, the track report for 1,000 to 1,200 metres. So we just work on the barrier positions here because usually they just sit up in these races. Inside, middle and outside gates, pretty even across. No real issue there. The ROI does suggest that the inside can be the place to be. This is from 2012 to now. So we've really focused this sort of in the last year. We've seen this sort of shift a little bit towards middle and outside. So I think middle to outside again will probably be the place for the straight races. 1,400 metres plus. We can see there, we know the Australian average for the win strike rate is 21%. Leaders here we're expecting only at 10%. So they can still win. The ROI is still in the positive, but it is not a huge big advantage as it usually can be. It just suggests that it's going to be pretty even. Here's the X factor here in this whole day as you look at those stats as I continue to talk about. We've got 10 to 20 mils suggested on race day. So we know Flemington's a great drying track. This track can't dry, though, guys, when the horses are running over it and we've got rain on the day. So that's going to be the factor that we're going to have to continue to stay agile with. Also, with that wind, it can just sort of produce in the 1,400-metre races plus a bit of a spinnaker lane into the middle lanes. So sometimes that can be an advantage. It's just one of those days where you just got to wait and see a little bit to see how much rain we get. Because we're going to get downgrades, I think, throughout the day. And that's going to impact on certain horses and where they're going to have to sit in running and that kind of stuff. So there's a bit to play out, and we're going to see it all on Saturday, unfortunately, but we just got to do our best.
But I like the fact that we're playing on a fair track, you think, to start with. Very similar to Moonee Valley you touched on last week, Jules, and you were spot on about that. So it's good. It's confidence early doors, and then we'll wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point.
Very, very good. All right, so we speak about hot jockeys, hot trainers, and I'll tell you what, how good's this bloke going? Benny Malham, Julesy.
11 from his last 48 at 23%. He's been on this, we've spoken about him on this program before. He just is coming the last 3 or 4 months. He's just been in real rare air. He's really doing his homework in terms of horses he should be following, where his horse should be sitting on the map, and just riding really to really, really well. So I think that's going to continue on Saturday. He's got a pretty good book of rides again. Again, he's got some horses there at a bigger prices. But we're doing this for a reason, because we think the market is trending towards some of these horses that these guys are riding in SD. He's got a pretty good book there, I think.
Well, when you look at the average price for each race there on the weekend, Julesy, you'll be following Ben Malham and you'll be getting value. Lord Belvedere, you know, he'll run the trip. The Inevitable too, with the sting out of the track, he comes right into play down that straight. And Ranting was absolutely outstanding from the tail last start, and they're going to ride him quiet again. So, yeah, good set of rides there for Ben Malham.
Very, very good. And trainers, we've got a couple of training partnerships, Julesy.
Yeah, Dabernig and Ben Hayes. Look, they've got a high volume of horses. So anytime these guys are going at a high percentage, you've really got to be following their camps going really well. A from their last 35 at 23%. As I say, high volume of horses. Usually go at around that 14, 15% mark. So they've got their horses going really well to be going at that 23% mark. Obviously, Flemington's their home track in terms of where they're at. So I expect these horses that they've got throughout the day to run really well for Hayes and Dabernig as we get up their horses. And they've got, you know, Crosshaven SD is going to be right in this race, and a few others at bigger price. A few of these are sort of resuming. Be interesting to see how they go.
What we did see with the captain, David Hayes, who's now training in Hong Kong, he loved to aggressively place horses that were coming up through their benchmarks in this time of the year. We'll see, I think, with Tom and Ben, that they might be a little bit kinder and go through their grades a little bit better. Crosshaven outside gates are right in amongst the market there. Personal, the rains come, Fast Neck Rock, I'm not sure she'll like it at $7. And then you're getting plenty of value outside of that. And I know you're pretty keen on Sosie Bond as a bit of a roughie in the future.
There you go, and a very famous, very big stable, Julesy.
32 from their last 127. I think they've been on this show, you know, last couple of weeks at 25%. Again, huge number of horses, usually going at 17, 18%. We speak about their horses 2,000 metres plus. Again, that goes at around 26%. Camp's just going so well, and it's the right time you want your horses to be going well. You just got to follow this this camp with confidence. They've got plenty of horses here, and they've got some at the pointy end. They've got some horses also at big prices. Again, if you like their horses, you're bonusing them. They're going to run. They're going to have horses. They're going to run really well on Saturday.
Well, you know, Exempt, he loves Flemington, that's for sure. I thought Persan, he's just in at the right time of the year with his freshen up and his last start win at the 440. And like Bonvicini, she was a winner first up last preparation. And Prague, well, one of the better runners for Team Mar and Eustace on the weekend at 440.
Very good. Got a few in that first race, don't they? Best of luck to the team there at Mar and Eustace. We'll take a break now. When we come back, plenty of action from HQ. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. Let's get stuck into the action from Flemington. We'll have a look now at race two. Immortal Love at $3.80. Bartley at $4.50. Cherry Tortini, or Tortoni, sorry, at $5.50. So You Can and Crosshaven at the $8 quote. National Choice $14. Crown Mint $15. Quay Quay is $18. And Iron Edge $23. Over the page, Rathlin Best of the Rest at $41. Julesy, the map.
Not a lot of speed here on paper, to be honest, Wally. I think Tanker probably can roll forward. Crown Mint, I think, can go forward. Crosshaven's the interesting one from that wide gate. What they decide to do, it might roll forward. Crosshaven here got beaten by Immortal Love. Immortal Love is the favourite. I couldn't get it as short as the market, that $3.80 here. This is a slowly run race at Caulfield. What worried me about this race was, yes, Immortal Love was not off 98 days. It was a good first up performance, but 23-4 last 400, 12-04 last 200. You can see the bunch finish. Bunch finish for me usually suggests the race hasn't gone good. That last 400, last 200 was the worst of the day. Yes, it's won three from three, hard to knock, but I just couldn't mark it that short, Immortal Love. So I was trying to go elsewhere, and I ended up finding the horse up in New South Wales called Bartley. This has sort of got the different form line. And it's also coming out of a fast run race. Last start when it won, it was coming out of a race that was 3/4 of a second inside standard time. I love gate four for this horse. I think it can be a little bit closer than it was last start, where it actually ended up coming via the Cape when it won in Sydney. M Zara goes on. We know he's riding really well. He does his maps. He's riding full of confidence. So I went with Bartley. I thought it was just the X factor, or the different form line. I wanted to take on that Immortal Love type of race. It's going to be a slowly run race, and I just thought Bartley coming out of the fast run race, 1400 metres, it might set up really well for it, so I went with that horse.
Yeah, I love a horse that's a winner, and Immortal Love is that. Now, when he ran at Flemington and went over 14, he sat on speed, Julesy. They rode him against his pattern, I thought, last start, which looked to be a good speed race, and he was drawn a little awkward. So they elected to go negative on Immortal Love, and he was still able to overcome trouble, get a couple of squeezes from his inside. But I still like the way he powered to the line. Flying Award joined him, but he found something when he knew that horse was beside him. So he's a complete winner, and there's no reason not to tip him. Even if the rains come, he loves a soft track, Immortal Love. The one I'm frightened about, and I'm his number one fan, is Cherry Tortoni, but the speed map doesn't quite suit him. Now, here he is. He's a horse that he went to sale at a maiden and powered down the middle of the track like we saw here. Then he won 1,400 metres, and here he is winning. He won a listed 1,600 metre race at the end of that first prep. So he loved Flemington. He powered to the line on this occasion, and that's Cherry Tortoni winning on a soft track at Flemington. He's going to get back. Now, Immortal Love should dictate terms. Bartley, the only knock I've got about this horse, and I'm not going to question Peter and Paul Snowden, but he's benchmark 72 gallop first up. He was flat-footed when he was caught up in behind him, and he couldn't go. The race really suited him last start in the provincials, and he was able to round him up, and he was able to get away with that. So he's on the way up, but I think they just want to find out where he belongs in this mould. So I want to look at Bartley. I'm happy to take him on. Immortal Love dictates term. Crosshaven can come across and sit on Immortal Love to dictate terms there. Crown Mint and So You Can, there wasn't much between them. Crown Mint had the worst run in the race. There wasn't much between those two Adelaide horses. And Iron Edge is the other horse. He ran second to Flying Award at Flemington in a listed race. He's going to go back with Cherry Tall Tony. They're the two to run on. Immortal Love on top, but I'm going to have a saver on Cherry Tall Tony because he's a winner.
And Steve, now we speak about Cherry Tall Tony there. What is the truck? The track got to get to for you to get involved there. Talk about a wet track.
As soon as it touches soft for him, it'll suit him. But this good four track and the small field and them to dictate terms on front, the race pattern doesn't suit him first up back at the races. But with the softer going, it's going to be close enough and it takes away that zip. Those horses controlling it on a good 3 to 4.
There you go. And, of course, insider trading every Saturday morning on racing.com and, of course, on our social channels. Jules and SD and Benny Clifton, they'll not only take you through what's happening, but now they'll give you their plays of the day. So you'll be able to see a lot closer to the action who SD is actually following. So make sure you check that out. Let's have a look at more racing now from Flemington. Race 3, Savatiano is your favourite at $2.50. Arcadia Queen at $3.30. We jump out a little bit from there. My Gold Bracelet at $10. She Shall Fly at $13. Bonavinci at $18, a fair to remember, and Pretty Brazen at $19, Street Icon $23, Spanish Reef $26, Fidelia $31 is the best over the page. Julesy.
$1.01. No speed in this race. Lady Loft, I think, will roll forward. Savatiano gets a perfect position. I think they want to ride this horse positive. I think they will. She Shall Fly can take a spot. Spanish Reef, first up off 156 or so days. The blinkers have gone off. Usually it goes forward. I think they'll probably be positive, but I don't think they'll be super positive. You can probably get the 1-1. And there's a few of these horses that want to be negative neutral. And I think Arcadia Queen's the horse that I speak of in terms of, I think they'll probably have to be negative from that wide gate off the 28 days, and I expect it to go back. Where did I land? Well, I went, obviously the top two in the market deserve to be the top two in the market, Savatiano and Arcadia Queen. They've got 58 kilos and people go, oh, they've got to carry the top weight. Don't be worried about that. Four of the last five winners have carried the penalty here and won. So this is a good horse's race. This is a race where you want these horses at the top. They're rated 110 and 111 respectively. Here is Savatiano winning the PB Lawrence. I think this sets up pretty similar to it. It was $5 on this day. Arcadia Queen's there back in the black hat with the pink and white Peter's colours. It was $6, just laboured a little bit. It's had a setback since. I know Savatiano did miss the Memsey, but it was just an issue in the tie-up stalls and just took a bit of skin off. So I don't think it would have missed much work, if any, at all. So I've got no concern with that. Off 28 days, no concern with that. The key factor here for me is I want to play in high percentage play, a high percentage place. So Savatiano for me is, there's not much between these horses. Arcadia Queen's best is clear, is probably better than Savatiano, I get that. But it's going to have to go back. So again, low percentage play. Savatiano is going to roll forward, going to be in front of this horse a long way. Don't mind the soft conditions if that does arrive as well. It's just going to be in front of it. It's just the high percentage play with these top two. And that's why I landed with Savatiano. I think as a punter, you want to play in the good spaces. And this is a good space of Savatiano. Yes, Arcadia Queen's probably the better horse. But I think it's a low percentage play. If Arcadia Queen beats me, too good Arcadia Queen, I say. But at least I'm playing in the space that I think is the high percentage.
And I want to go back to that space, Julesy, because what gave me confidence to want to ride Arcadia Queen here and have something on her was that the return on investment off midfield suits her in this race, this 1,400 metre gallop. So I wanted to see that on that return on percentage graphic, which was awesome. And I want to play Arcadia Queen here because I think she's a star. Remember, she beat the boys in the Theo Marks. But I want to go back to her last preparation. Listed win, Group 3 win, Group 2 and a Group 1 winner. She's an absolute star when she's right. She over-raced and she was fresh because there was an interruption with quarantine in her preparation coming from Perth to Melbourne. She ran in behind Savatiano in the PB Lawrence and just over-raced like it was a trial. And it was just completely against her pattern where she likes to relax, build momentum and power down the outside. Yep, she's had 4 weeks between runs. But what gave me the confidence about her that she'll be at her best at Flemington, big, wide, spacious track. She had a trial on Tuesday at Bendigo, and she lit the joint up. Her last 400 and 200 was electric, and she powered through the line, and indicators went off left, right and centre from Bendigo. All the possums in the tree were singing, get on her whatever you do. So what I like about her in a race pattern as well, Sabatiano gets the best run in the race, but Southbank, Lady Loft, Spanish Wreath will pressure her. Street Icon will then go back. Then you've got Bonvicini, who won the Vanity first up last prep, shrouded in mist, Pretty Brazen, all just sitting behind that speed. So if I'm riding Arcadia Queen, Pretty Brazen, who was fantastic at Group 2 and Group 3 level last preparation, Shrouded and Miss and Bonvicini, they can drag me into the race. They're going to give me that slipstream to peel off them. Three deep with cover at Flemington is okay for a big mare like that. I like her against the mares, Arcadia Queen. And spoiler alert, I think she's one of the best bets on the weekend.
There you go, the possums in the trees, SD. Always important to know where they're at. Yep. Now, you spoke about the Bobby Lewis off the top and said it was a competitive race. Let's have a look at that now. That is race number 4 on the card. Satori is 440. Tefane is 440. Bold Star, 460. The Inevitable, $6. Great Again, $7.50, but Julesy will speak about it. And then Sex, that might be coming out. Banquo, $11 for $1.17. And just over the page there, Hell of a Street, 31. Julesy, good race.
It is a good race, not a big field, and as we speak about a lot when we've got these straight races, especially with small fields, is that I think they're going to sit up. I don't think there's going to be a horse that really wants to get out and charge that first 400 metres, so it just might end up being a sprint home that last 400, 600 metres up the Flemington Straight. You did speak about Great Again, Wally. Rumours are that the horse is a bit crook, so don't be surprised to see it come out. It actually was my top pick. I loved it back to 54 kilos. I think it's only carried less than 55 kilos twice in its career for one win at a listed race and a second at somewhere else. So it doesn't really matter anyway because it's not running. So move on, you idiot. Zutori is the horse that I've decided to select. Won this race last year with 53 kilos, so has to go up into 56 kilos. But off 119 days here, I think it won this race off 98 days last prep. And that was a fast run race. 3/4 of a second inside standard time. It was a booming last 400, last 200. I just think this sets up really well. I loved its first up run last prep as well. It ran second in an Oakley Plate to Pippi. Again, that was a fast run race. I just think first up, it does run really well. Flemington, it ticks that box. Again, I'm playing in a high percentage place. A horse that obviously goes well up the straight, it does that. I think Zutori is going to run really well for it. It's going to take another good sprinting performance from a Bold Star or a Tefane to beat Zutori, because I reckon Zutori's in a really good space, sets up really well for him.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Yellow Triangle. I think he's well placed here. His first up record's absolutely outstanding, Zutori, and I loved his trial early in the week down the straight. Just cuddled. Tefane was in that trial at Flemington. She trialled quite well, but with the 56 kilos, and he's close up third to Sunlight and Santa and Elaine. He can break 1-9 down the straight too when he wins this horse. He is a machine first up. He's the horse I want to be riding just off that speed, and he draws the right part of the track, middle of the track, to get that cover from Hell of a Street, dollar for dollar. Great Again will come out, as Julesy mentioned, and Banquo. He'll be close enough. Tefane likes to get back. They rode her too close one day and she just got it all wrong. They'll ride her dead quiet. The Inevitable is the roughie that gives me the heebie-jeebies a little bit because of his straight track form. He went on to win the Silver Eagle in a listed race at Moonee Valley and he's going to love the sting out of the track. He's the one to be powering on with Zutori for me first up and off his trials too. He's the one I want to be riding.
Yeah, it's a good one you mentioned about the Inevitable. I just don't think he came up in the autumn. His spring was outstanding when you said he won the Silver Eagle and ran really well in the Golden Eagle, I think, as well. He had an amazing spring. And then he starts back in the autumn. He starts, I think, $8 or $8.50 in a new market and just didn't come up. So if he can get him back to that original spring, Scotty Brunton, he's going to run really well, the Inevitable. I'm with you there.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break now. When we come back, Group 1 racing at HQ. Welcome back, punters, and it's time to have a look at the Maccabi Diva. And I'll tell you what, good field here, guys. Russian Camelot returns at $3.60. Fierce Impact at the $5. Perfect Jewel, $6. Dara San at $9.50. Kingsville Dream, $10. Master of Wine, $11. Sosabon at $27. Miami Bound, $31. Quick Thinker at $34. There's a few more over the page here. Harlem is $41. Princess Jenny and Gadding and Vow and Declare all at the $51 quote. Julesy, mate, the map, where do we go with this? Because this is a decent-sized field and it looks like a cracking race.
Yeah, it's a cracking race and there's plenty in it too. And I think the map's really important because there's no real speed on paper and as well. We don't know how much rain we're going to have by this stage in the day. So, look, for the stuff we do know, I think Galo Chop will roll forward. Gadding won this race last year on an absolute hard deck. He's not going to get those conditions. He was more or less busted after that performance. He'll roll forward. I think Perfect Jewel from that inside gate has to probably be positive, I think, Willie Pike. Then you got Fierce Impact. Even Miami Bound might try and find a spot. Quick Thinker usually rolls forward, but first up here, I don't think, again, they'll be really super positive, but they'll try and find a position. And then you've got horses like Rush and Camelot, Vow and Declare. I think they're going to be neutral. I think they're going to have to go back from those positions, especially Ollie with 14 on 14 with Rush and Camelot. I think he's got to take his medicine and go back. It's a really interesting race. You've got Russian Camelot, who's the favourite, and look, he's coming off winning in an SA Derby. It was brilliant to the eye. The clock was okay. You know, he's $3.60 in a Maccabi. It's as if he's won the Arc. He hasn't, but he's got that upside. He has only had five starts, so you can understand, but he's got a few things against him, I think, on Saturday, against in the fact that he's going to have to go back to last, and he's going to have to go past some really good horses, and in particular, I'll put Perfect Jewel on top. I thought her effort off 63 days last start at Caulfield was outrageously good. Last 400, last 200 was very good. It was a really slow tempo, absolutely soft tempo, but 1,200 metres is not her go. She comes home 11.44. Last 400, last 200 was the best of the day by far, and now gets to 1,600 metres. Now, 12 to 1,600 metres worries me sometimes, but it doesn't worry me if it's a really slowly run race here. So I'm okay with that, that the fact that the tempo is going to be taken out of it, it can just find a position. And if it didn't produce that turn of foot again, I think it'll be winning the race, Perfect Jewel, from that map. I think the maps are the positive for Perfect Jewel. I will also say 1,600 metres is right up its alley. Three starts ago, I think, at Belmont, on a soft track, 3/4 of a second inside standard time, so it can handle fast pressure as well, which it won't get. But I've got no issue with 1,600 metres. I'm with Perfect Jewel off the map. I think she can win.
Yeah, that was the Hyperion, Julesy, and she beat the Velvet King and Material Man boys on the way through. I'm with you here, but what fascinates me, and this is martial law, we're going to talk about this in a segment later on, about jockeys' tactics and where these horses are in this at this preparation, kicking off in a Maccabi Diva. Galo Chop's got a roll from his inside low draw. He likes to bowl along and he likes to set a nice tempo, but he won't go too hard. So Lavendi will flop into the box seat. He can show gate speed. Perfect Jewel, if you're riding her, she was close enough first up and nice and fresh. And when she won the Group 3 first up at Caulfield, she'll lob into a nice position without having to drag back, because Gadding, he was on speed when he won this race last year. You'd expect him to hold a posse forward. Fierce Impact, they want to ride just in behind two, three pairs back. That's his best profile, because he won the Cantale, he won the Toorak that way, and he ran super coming from third last first up in a wink. So he'll go back. Harlem can roll forward if he wants to, but then it's Miami Bound. What shall she do? Delasun, when they're riding him back, he gets this bad habit of wanting to run in because he's got too much ground to make up. Why not sit him up and ride him nice and close like he did when he was a three-year-old over 6 furlongs down the straight at Flemington on speed? Oh, he can't beat him if he gets back, Delasun. I'm expecting a smart ride from him. Master of Wine, they want to ride him negative and get him back on and running on. Vow and Declare, they want to switch him off. Quick Thinker, in the Tullock, before he won the Derby in Sydney, he was one out, one back.
Yep.
So he could roll forward and have a nice gallop first up on a slow speed. I'm expecting that. Kingswell Dream, they said they want to ride negative. Julesy, where's he at, Kingswell Dream? Let's have a look at his first up run. We know he's run good in a Maccabi Diva before. He's drawn a little out. He'll go back. But he's just such an honest horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a really good performance. And I love the market support. I think he was $13 into $9, which is a positive sign. Outside of Savatiano winning the race here, and then you got Sir Coney, he was the best of the closers, wasn't he? Yep. He finished off really well. His last 200 was good. We know his Flemington form's outstanding. He's won a Turnbull Stakes before. 1,600 metres. I think he's going to run well. But from a speed map perspective, he becomes a low percentage play, because I would have loved to see him in the first six. But because, as you say, they're going to ride him probably a little bit negative, he then has to pass a lot of horses. And I don't know if he's got that in him at this part of his prep at the moment.
So the grand finals are the Turnbull and then obviously a Cox Plate with him, and they'll take it from there. So he'll go back, but he's had that run under his belt and he'll run on. Master of Wine, we're expecting him to go back. They rode him too close in a wings first up. What are your thoughts on him? He's highly rated.
He's highly rated. And again, he was solid in the market. You would have thought the market could take a set against him, because in essence, he was a horse that really needed to build up his profile. But he was $6 hard in the market. I thought he was poor. The Hawks team have whipped him down here to Flemington big track and said, no excuses now. Here you need to deliver. So big D day, I think, for Master of Wine. A few of these, not so much. But for Master of Wine, he has to perform very, very well to consider him as a Caulfield Cup hope contender.
And I think he can. And Russian Revolution, just watch Ollie switch him off. He can race fresh and get on the Chewy a little bit. And he's still learning what it's all about. So they want to know where he's at, Russian Camelot. So he'll have to start slow, lock him behind him. And if he can clip home and make ground on some of these proven horses at Wafer Age, well, they're right on target with Russian Camelot to go to a Cox Plate and whatever they want to go in. But I'm with Perfect Jules.
Yeah, very good.
I'm with you, brother.
Very good. Very good.
Very good.
I will say, if Russian Camelot's to steam over the top of these, look out, he won't get beaten for the rest of the spring. This is his vulnerability one in terms of the speed map has him going back to last. I've got him pegged maybe as just a wet tracker as well. So if this rain comes, I reckon that might sort him out as well and might help him a little bit. Yep. But I thought if this was a dry track, these horses would be going too fast on speed and he wouldn't be able to get past them. But this rain comes, it'll suit him. We just got to see him do it. We've seen many horses with the big hype not being able to live up to it, but this horse, obviously, he might be something special.
There you go, Jules. I've got a question for you about that a little later on. We'll talk to Russian Camelot and further ends prep. We won't go that now, but I'll tell you what, I reckon there's going to be a few numbers in the quaddie today in that race. Okay, race 8, the Dane Hill Stakes. Prague is $4.40 favourite. Wisdom of Water at $6.50. Personal and Doubtland both at the $7 quote. Ranting at $8.50, Anavisto at $9.50, as is Titus and Extra Time at $11. On the lead, 13, Amish Boy 34, hard landing at $41. Julesy.
Up the straight here, so again, they don't usually go as fast as they would around a bend like at Caulfield or a Moonee Valley, but a horse like Wisdom of Water, you'd think it'd go forward. Its best go is to run fast time sort of throughout the middle part and break its rivals up, goes to a new camp, so you think the market might trend towards it coming down from Brisbane. Where did I land? I found this a really tricky race. I don't think there's much between, theoretically, the best horse and the worst horse in this race. This is how I sort of see this race. I actually went with a horse called On the Lead, which is a bit of a price. I thought it could run really well. Look, two of its last three starts have been at Kembla Grange. Three starts ago in a really slowly run race, last 400, last 200, best of the day, tick. Then it went to Kembla Grange again. Half a second inside standard time, last 400, 200, very good. So that stamps it that it's a really good horse. And last start, it did run second, but this race was white hot. They've ran 1 second inside standard time. It's a horse that's fit, and I reckon it'll suit the straight. I thought On the Lead would be on speed and run a massive race. There's a few of these horses that are first up, thought they might be just a little bit soft in their preps. And I thought a horse that was fit, ready to go, On the Lead ticks that box, and I'm happy to have a play at it each way.
Yeah, they run the 12.50 in record time there, Kenzo, for your selection there, Julesy. It is an open race, but I like a little bit of class in Prague. He won his maiden then at Group 3 level, and then he was 1.5 off in a size, so that he was tested, and really tested well as a two-year-old, Prague. So I like the fact that he's hard and tough. And what I like about him too, he's had three trials, and he's been prepped up in Sydney, and he's had the blinkers on, and he scooted up, and he was pushed out in his last one, and he lit it up quite nicely. I think it's really smart placing to bring him down from Sydney, away from all of those smart colts like Farnan and all those horses resuming at Warwick Farm this weekend, at Rose Hill this weekend. But Prague, for me, it's Mara and Eustace are getting it right. We saw it on that graphic early doors, the percentage and where they're placing their horses. He is ready to go. And he's got the blinkers on and he's a colt and he'll need to win a Dane Hill at Group 2 level. Wisdom of Water, he's still working what it's all about. He broke 110 when he won the Ken Russell up there. Team Price and Ken are flying. They've got the tongue tie on him. He'll run and he'll run fast. Doubtland's the big danger for me. Got beat 7.7 lengths last start behind Anders. They just went too hard. But his two wins prior to that were very, very good. I'm happy to forgive him and I like the placement of Hawks bringing him down. And then you've got horses on the way up. Tedious. Similar time to a benchmark 72 on the same day at Bendigo when he won his second start. And Adavasio down the bottom. Jesus, horse has got a big gallop, really big gallop. And, you know, it was really popular when this horse won. If the rains come, that was on a heavy track. Price Kent Jr., they're going to find out where he's at.
Yeah, that's really important because that was a wet track and it went a huge time. Doubtland, I think, also is a wet track. Its peak figure was on that wet track when it went through the roof. And your selection, Prague, it's got to carry 58.5, but don't be worried about that. Dalasan last year won it with 58.5. Encryption carried the penalty 2 years ago and won it with 58. So don't be worried about those horses at the top of the market. This race profile is okay for them.
There you go. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we've got Martial Law. We've got Julesy's punning education plus plenty more. G'day punters, welcome to Martial Law. This is where Simon Marshall, our resident 16-time Group 1 winning jockey, takes a look at a key race. Of course, we're looking at the Maccabi Diva, but we're going to look back to go forward. SD, we're going to look at the Cochrane. We're going to dissect that. You're going to look at the map, and we're going to see, I guess, some key takeaways that you're going to give us for the race.
It's a short, sharp gallop from this mile shoot. You only got 130 metres in this weight for age race. We know that Galo Shop's going to roll forward on the speed, but the key runner here we're looking at is Perfect Jewel. This is her winning first up over 7 furlongs against the mares. She was nice and close quartered cap. Willie Pike, 2 pairs back, switches her to the middle of the track. He's only 3 lengths off him at the top of the straight. And what we wanted to see from her first up was her power to the line and a really run through the line well. And when Willie puts her through her gears right here at the 200 metre mark, this is your fourth. Watch the 50. Doesn't have to use the persuader. And what I love is her gallop through. Watch her change legs here. Just on the wire, she changes legs, then she hits that fifth gear. This is fantastic for her. So let's have a look at the speed map, because she's a winner second up at Weight for Age in WA, like the Velvet King and those type of Weight for Age horses in Perth. So we've got Galo Shop leading out of this mile shoot. Lavendi, you would think, flop in the box seat, be as close as you can. Perfect Jewel doesn't have to give away her start. She can jump, roll, and be as close as she can to Galo Shop, because Gadding was on speed when he won it last year in the first four. You would imagine him to go forward. She can follow that horse. Harlem can show a bit of speed, but his best run when he's taken a sit. Now, Fierce Impact, his best wins at the Toorak and also the Cantala. He likes to take a sit and get a wall of horses in front of him. So there's your early speed. Miami Bound, I would expect them to ride her a little quiet. Delasun, he's a stallion, and he's been getting back and giving him too much of a start and laying in bad because he's got too many lengths to make up. Why don't you ride him close, get him stimulated and get him up on speed? Now, from that, Warning will be posted. 3 deep with cover will be okay in this race, because they'll back the tempo off from the 1,008 and 6 and get a comfortable gallop. What does that mean? Quick thinker. He was first four when he won the Tullock, 1.25 before he won the Derby. He can come across and have a nice gallop, bowling on speed. Princess Jenny will go back. Yeah, Kings Will Dream will go back with Russian Camelot, and Master of Wine will all come back and be switched off. And this is fascinating here for me, because it'll be just nice, genuine tempo early doors. Jostle for position from inside gates, and then it'll be locked and loaded. Your horse is getting back behind the walls are the key runners. Kings Will Dream, Master of Wine, and also Russian Camelot. So what are my pointers out of this race? My pointers are lack of tempo early doors. So be as close as you can from your low gates, as I just mentioned, on your good horses in terms of Perfect Jewel. 3 deep or 3 wide with cover is going to be okay in this mile gallop. As long as you've got your horse into a nice tempo and a nice rhythm, you'll be close enough and you'll be in that nice rhythm. Now, the Spruce Horse, the Russian Revolution, we call Russian Camelot. He is the horse that's going to get back. Damien Oliver's got to switch him off. It's his first go at Weight for Age. He can over-race fresh early doors. So what's Damien's two options at the top of the straight? Do I follow Perfect Jewel? Do I follow Gadding? And do I follow those inside horses that'll let me out in Galo Shop who have dictated terms? Or do I get on the back of the likes of Kings Will Dream and Master of Wine and get to the outside? There is two options at the top of the straight to give him clear air and power down the middle of the track. It's typical Weight for Age racing at its best. Perfect Jewel gets the best run, I would have thought.
Very good, Estelle. I'll tell you what, I like the price of Kings Will Dream here, boys. If it and Russian Camelot are going to get back, it's got that run under its belt, should finish strong. Well, look at that, one of ours too. Now, Julian Valance has been doing some work during the week, and look, we know he sort of acts like he's a little distant. He's a bit cool, a bit trendy, back of the class sort of stuff.
Education.
But look at this, he's created a stinger.
Nothing cool or trendy about me. I don't know where you're getting that from. But, yeah, clearly got my fingerprints all over that one. Thanks to the back end boys for that. We're going to speak about the Rupert Clark Stakes this week. It's obviously on next Saturday. And after Showmanship won last week, there was a bit of talk about, OK, where does this horse set up into a Rupert Clark? Now, here's the market. So I just want to get this market up to begin with. Showmanship at $3.80. You got Behemoth, who won the Memsie 2 weeks ago, at $5.50. Buffalo River's going to go into this race first up at $7. I Am Superman won a couple of weeks ago at $9. Then you've got the three-year-old Tagaloa at $10. Brings a bit of an X factor to the race. Superstorm, he's at $11. He's definitely going to run in it. Perfect Jewel won't go there. Flying Award, another three-year-old at $13. And Age of Chivalry, $15, rounds it off there, who ran second in this race last year to be good to your mother. there. Here are some key pointers. If you're going to have a bet into this race before final acceptances, here's what I think you need to look at. It's a Group 1 race, 1,400 metres at Caulfield. It's a handicap. Nominations are on Monday. Acceptances are on Wednesday. Now, here's the important stuff. Usually, we're on a 58 with a 52 minimum, top weight 58. COVID-19, it's going to be a 60-kilo top weight, 54 minimum. So we've still got the 6-kilo spread. It's just going to go up 2, so it's all relativity. Now, you need a high enough rating to get into this race. So last year, there wasn't a full field, so it didn't matter what your rating was. If you wanted to run in the race, you got to run in it. 2 years ago, you needed a rating of 97. This is important for a couple of these horses. Have a look at their rating, Victoria rating, just to check if they're going to get in. 3 years ago, didn't need a rating because it wasn't a final field. Same with 4 years ago. But then you need a rating of 95, 92 and 98 before that. In 2012, it wasn't a final field. And the last bit I think that's really important is 5 of the last 8 winners have carried 52 kilos, which has been the minimum, or 52 and a half, half a kilo off the minimum. So it does profile as a race for those horses on the minimum weight, which of course is going to be 54 kilos this year. Last year, Be Good To Your Mother won it with 52 and a half kilos. Before that, horses like Santa Ana Lane with 52, Bonorum 52, and those kind of horses, Trust and August, 52 kilos as well. So here are the ratings on the side, and here's the weight that I think they're going to get. So this is the important thing, because the punters now can go at home and have a look at their own form profiles and see, okay, does this match up? What do I want to be with if these are the weights they're going to get? Because it's a handicap, no one really knows what their weight going to get. We've done the work for you here. Behemoth. Now, into the Memsie, he had a rating of 105. I'll put my handicapper hat on. I think they'll probably give him 110 out of that race for a Victorian rating. So off that, you've got to have the highest horse going to be 60 kilos. I've looked through the field and what it most likely be. Behemoth's probably going to be the highest rated horse. He has to get 60 kilos. So that's my basis here. Showmanship, rating of 98, probably gets into the race, 54 kilos. Buffalo River, 54 kilos. I Am Superman, 54 the same. I go through these horses on the minimum weight and I go, what's got the best profile? What's going the best? Showmanship for me has got the best profile out of those horses of Buffalo River, who's going to be first up. I Am Superman's a long way off showmanship. I know I Am Superman's tight in the market. He's going to drift on the day. I can absolutely assure you of that. I think Superstorm's an interesting one. He'll get 57 kilos, but he goes okay. He did run second in an All-Star Mile. We know that. Age of Chivalry, I think he had to give 4 kilos to Showmanship last start, so now he's only got to give him 1.5 kilos. So a 2.5 kilo swing, but is that enough to what Showmanship did to him last week to Age of Chivalry? And Tagaloa and Flying Award, they're the really interesting horses because they're the three-year-olds. So Tagaloa's got a really high rating there of 102, but the weight for age allowance this time of the year over 1,400 metres is 7.5 kilos. So they'll bring that horse back down to the minimum. Flying Award there with a rating of 72. If it's a full field, he's not going to get into the race. So be very careful. Buyer beware of backing that horse, especially pre-noms, or even on a Monday or Tuesday when you see, oh, it's in the race, they've nominated it. It might not get a run if it's not going to be a full field. Where did I land? Well, I went with Showmanship. Yes, he's $3.80 favourite with us at the moment. I think there's bigger out there, but I want to be with this horse, Showmanship. I think he's going to start clear-cut favourite. Facts and figures, this kind of handicap, it sets up really well. Behemoth's going to run really well. He deserves to be the top weight with 60 kilos. Don't be swayed by that. Jungle Cat won it with 58 kilos 2 years ago, so that's the same. He won a Memsie. He's going to run well, but I'm with Showmanship. I think he'll be winning the Rupert Clark and he'll start a clear-cut favourite.
Outstanding, gentlemen. Well done, Julesy. There's your future. There's Saturday's Group 1 taken care of. Sit back, watch that a couple of times. You'll be a pro. We'll take a break. When we come back, more tips from all around the country. There you go. It is time to make the punters some money with a little bit of help from the boys, of course. Julesy, I think we're going to start with you. We're going to Adelaide, is that right?
We are. Race 3, number 4, Tatalina. Third up here off, I think, 162 days. Gets to 2,500 metres, which has got a really good profile record in. Last start, 2,000 metres, was half a second inside standard time. I think it was 1950 or something, that distance. Now I think it's ready to explode, and I think Tatalina will be winning for you in Adelaide.
It's a good horse, ready to explode. 9-4, DiMaggio. I like this horse. There's a short favourite in this race in Instant Celebrity. Drawn 15 will get back and need luck to run on. DiMaggio loved this horse around this trip. Won 2 or 3 last preparation on speed. When it got beat, blew the start and was very unlucky, beaten 0.5 of a length. Rated well. He's a trip specialist and he's drawn 2 and he's going to control it. DiMaggio for me at around that 450.
There you go. The winner is Julesy. Who you got in Sydney?
Yeah, race one, let's get it early. Number three, Cadre du Noir. It's only had, I think, the three or four starts in Australia. And last start was a brilliant win on at Sandown. It more or less was it ran past them like it was stuck to the ground. It was a very good performance. It was a very heavy track. It's going back to a dry track in Sydney, but I think it's just a really good stayer. I think it'll win on Saturday and it'll book its place in the Metrop. It's going to be a sneaky chance in the Metropolitan, I think, in a couple of weeks. So be with Cadre du Noir.
She's back. One of our favourites here on Three Wide No Cover. Fasica. She was second in this race last week, second in the Golden Eagle, and she won at Group 3 level, and then she was placed in the All Age. She's a star. She's had three trials, and guess what? She's been in a cage all week. She's flying.
He's up and about. Yeah. That's a push. I'll tell you what, Julesy, we'll go to Perth now.
Yeah, race five, number two, Madame Torio. It's a 1,000-metre race. What do we speak about at nauseam is that you need a 1,000-metre horse. This has a great 1,000-metre record, this horse. Last two 1,000-metre runs have both been half a second inside standard time. Its last 200 is usually very, very poor. Doesn't matter. If you're four or five in front, this horse will go very, very fast. Take him out of their comfort zone, and I expect it to win again, Madame Torio.
And then we're going to Brisbane, of course. Julesy, nothing for you. SD, who you got?
Nice to get the 3:30 or the 3:10 before the main danger and the scratching come out. We're $1.95 now. Sorry, fisticuffs. Was stiff first up. Missed by a bee's left big toe. And this horse loves this track and trip. So second up winner as well. 55 kilos. Ryan Maloney for guess who? Toby and Trent Edmonds.
Yeah. You were going to guess that one. I will say too, just in Brisbane, just be very careful. Plenty of rain about Friday and Saturday, so we might be on a really wet track there. Also for Adelaide, expecting some rain on the race day as well.
Very good. And Julesy, last week was the first time in the Wolf of Wall Street you gave a tip in Melbourne that you really liked. You've got another one this week.
Yeah, race one, number four, Shabao. Off 105 days last start. I thought it was a very good performance in that it was half a second inside standard time. Ran third to Al Ghulail in Order of the Garter. Order of the Garter is going to run favourite in Naturalism next week. Shabao gets to 2,500 metres. I think four or five runs ago in the Roy Higgins listed race, this was 2,600 at Flemington, went around twos on and absolutely bolted in. I expect this horse to be winning and be a major player in the Bart Cummings in 3 weeks' time, Shabao.
Yeah, very good, Julesy. And of course, you nailed your tip last week in Melbourne, Shandy. All right, let's have a look at the summary now of all the tips. And you guys thought you were pretty funny asking for that, but I got in yesterday and got them to change it. It is the Wolf of Wally Street. Don't worry about that. Julesy, run us through very quickly.
Tatalina will appreciate a wet track too if that comes. Cadre du Noir, great stayer. Madame Torreya, 1,000-metre horse, and Shabao expect it to win.
DiMaggio to lead and be hard to beat there. Fisticuffs, yes. And Fasica's back. And Acadia Queen was the best at Flemington for me.
Yeah, that is your best of the day. Very, very good, SD. All right. Now, we don't tackle too many serious issues here on Three Wide No Cover, but one has hit the news this week, and it's around the possible banning of the whip. And we thought, who better to comment on this than 16-time Group 1 winning jockey, Simon Marshall? We've got him at our disposal. SD, here's a couple of the articles, mate. Can we get your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Giles Thompson, CEO of RV, announced shocking announcement, and the timing of it was terrible, without talking to the stakeholders and jockeys and trainers and punters and bookies and everybody else, that the whip ban, it's inevitable. We're not going to see it in his time, but it will be faded out. Well, Giles, get on the front foot, please, mate. If your legacy is going to be the ban the whip and you want to be talking about it now, make sure it's done in your reign rather than actually just throwing up against the wall as we're going into a spring carnival when racing's absolutely held up a lot of industry and a lot of people through COVID. Shocking timing, disagree with it. Racing Australia board, they have a meeting in November. Why can't all the participants and also stakeholders get together from every state and let's make it mandatory if we're going to start talking about the whips and the striking times. 5 to 8 strides you want to make it, 5 to 8 times a race you want to make it, you want to change it to. Right now it's 5 before the 100 and unlimited before the 100 metre mark. Well, let's not follow every other country around the world. We are the number one supporters of thoroughbred racing in terms of turnover here in Australia. It's phenomenal. Why don't you lead from the front and let's stamp this out and make it correct ourselves? Education is paramount. Jockeys have got a hard job as it is. Now, we talk about perception and integrity in our game. The perception is if you stop jockeys from persuading horses to go and leave it to their discretion, they'll be just pulling horses out of a race. and saying, oh, sorry, the horse didn't want to try, didn't want to go. Is that good for our integrity of racing? And will punters want to bet on a product like that? Let's talk about it and talk about solutions and better educate people. And what I mean by that is, let's just throw something up and say, okay, if we're going to then crunch the numbers and say jockeys are only allowed to use the whip 8 times, well, let's send a siren off at the 600 metre mark for jockeys that are riding in races, right on the running rail, to say, now's the only time that you can use this whip. And it's 8 times, you're limited. So jockeys know, so we're educated, because we're trying to think of furlong poles. We're trying to think of time. We're trying to steer a 500 kilo horse. Okay, but we need to persuade this horse to get it to run to the best of its ability in a straight line as well. And then at the 150 metre mark, let's send off another siren to say this is your last chance. At the 100 metre mark, there'll be no whipping. Every jockey must put the whip away and use hands and heels when our eyeballs are on our product the most. And at this stage, all jockeys have the opportunity from the 600 to the 100 metre mark to stimulate and persuade this horse with the shillelagh to get it to its fifth gear and at its top, and then we can watch our brilliant industry continue on without any of this backlash that we're copping right now, but let's make it unified. That's my take, Wally.
Incredibly well said, SD. Incredibly well said, and I'm sure a lot of people agree. We'll take one last break and we'll be back with the quaddie. Well, the quaddie, gentlemen. We got it last week at a decent percentage. It paid a bit too. So, SD, let's get the punters in this week as well.
Extra couple of squats there after last week's quaddie, Wally. Hey, hey, hey. Romancer, bumper blast, windstorm. That's in the first leg.
Okay,
yeah. Let's go to MacGyver, the group one. Fierce Impact goes in. Sosibon. We want Russian Camelot. Perfect, Jewel. Just the four. Yes. Dane Hill, Prague's got to go in. Wisdom of Water. We like Doubtland. We like On the Lead, Julesy's top selection. And Anavisto goes in as well. Now, we've got the three-year-old fillies in the last leg. Julesy, help me out. Let's be glam. We've got to have in.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a nightmare, this race. So I think if you're going to have a quaddie, you've got to go wide because it's up the straight variables. We don't know how wet it's going to be. Throw wet trackers in. Just be careful this last leg. So we're going wide.
Minaj has trialled up extremely well. Now, Forever Free, she's won 3 on the trot. She's a group winner, so she's got to go in.
Yeah, Elton and Zara train on the track, so throw it in.
Parlophone, she'll get back and relax. Let's hope she doesn't buck out of the barriers. Swats, that's trialled up a treat.
Yep, totally agree. Needs to be included.
Yo Smite, who was terrific winning at Bendigo on debut. I like the way that horse galloped out.
Yeah, Yosemite, you want to be with it, I reckon.
And Smoke and Val's in, but it might run in Adelaide, you say?
Yep, it's a horse that's got a pretty good profile, I reckon, and Ollie goes on.
Okay, why no Kings Will Dream?
Because I don't think you can win.
Got rocks in your head. We'll beat at least a couple of those home. Thank you for watching. Have a great weekend. Please gamble responsibly. We'll see you next week.